The thing I'm having is I just bought a stupid wireless mouse.
But can I do that with Wi-Fi?
Now my screensaver doesn't work.
And that's the solution I'm looking for.
Yep, that would be it.
Something that they call drive-by download.
Okay, stop there.
Try to boot into something called safe mode.
Take my advice and go get this free program that is out of this world.
Eliminate those and see if the problem still persists.
Oh, that's a great idea. Okay, I didn't think about that.
Does your computer bite?
There's nothing that comes in the computer that's of any value.
Has your hard drive gone floppy?
The head whack is the thing that makes you kind of go,
no! It's time to call the Computer Corner.
We're not your daddy's computer radio show.
Is this thing on?
On News Talk 92.3. KTAR.
Welcome to another episode, edition something. Another week in the Computer Corner. Each and every week for the past almost 11 years now, we've been talking to you about technology, about computers, about things that frustrate you, about ones and zeros. We break it down into plain English, though, so that you can understand. And we get you involved, and we try to have a good time. If you've been listening any time in the last 1.1 decades, you like how I did that? 1.1 decades, that means 11 years, right?
Sure.
If you've been listening any time in the past 1.1 decades, you know that, above all, we try to make sure we edutain. And so we invite you to join in anytime in the show with your questions, your fears, your troubles, your issues, your thoughts on our topic, whatever the contribution might be. You can join in at 602-277-5827. It's 277-KTAR. Of course, if you're online, which I think most people are, you can join us on our website, datadoctors.com/radio, or datadoctors.com, click where it says radio show. Either way will get you to the same place. You'll see there a picture of me, and you'll see a picture of Ken smiling. Ken's not in studio today, but you can, in spirit, see him. And you'll see our theme, along with resources and links to ask questions, make suggestions, participate in our blogs, all kinds of cool stuff there. Our theme today is Windows 7, a first look. And I don't know if it's quite the first look, but probably for most of you listening, you're just now thinking about, should I upgrade, should I migrate, should I get Windows Vista on my new computer? And maybe you know that there's another operating system right around the corner, and it's, so far, it's named Windows 7. I'm sure by the time it launches, it'll be named something much cooler than Windows 7. But today, we're going to talk a little bit about what's coming, and maybe should you wait or should you not. And we've got some links, some resources, some screenshots, some previews, all kinds of cool stuff. datadoctors.com/radio. You can see those things, and you can see them now. And, of course, again, we invite you to participate in the show, 602-277-5827. It's 277-KTAR. I'm joined this week by Kevin Church again, one of the mighty doctors of data here in the Phoenix area. He makes sure that he makes sure that things are running smoothly in the operation. You're a smooth operator.
Yes, thank you.
So to speak.
So to speak.
And then to my left is Louis Georges. Not Louis George. That would be two first names. Louis Georges, the Mac guy from Mac Media.
All my childhood, the man with two first names.
The two first names. You know, I knew a guy whose name was, his last name was Daniel, not Daniels.
Uh-huh.
And his parents decided to do the unthinkable. And they named him all three names, Daniel, Daniel, Daniel.
No.
Yes, his name was Daniel, Daniel, Daniel. And so we just called him 3D. Yeah, that's wrong.
3D.
He had not only three first names, but his first name, middle name, and last name were all the same, and they were all first names.
That's got to suck.
That's not good.
He got a cool nickname out of it, though.
3D?
Yeah, that's kind of...
I guess.
Unless you're a big guy.
No, he was not. I mean, I grew up in Flagstaff, so I wonder if that guy... You know, a lot of people from Flagstaff kind of migrate down here to Phoenix, and there's a chance.
Maybe they just get bored.
If Daniel, Daniel, Daniel... is listening, you can dial in 602-277-5827. There's a line for you right now. And for anybody else who wants to dial in, for that matter, I'm sure he's not listening. Even if he was in Phoenix, right? Although, I've had a few people who've found me because they happened to hear the show and wondered, is that the same Brandon Disney? And then emailed through the radio show links and stuff. And I've had two or three people
And then found you on one of your 10 social networking sites.
Yeah, my awesome MySpace page. Or yeah, that's the ticket. It's the same place they find Kevin. You're an adult friend finder, I think, right?
Yeah, probably.
Yeah, don't go there.
Yeah, yes. Well, his sites are a little suspect.
But anyway, today, when we were coming into the studio, I said to both Lewis and to Kevin, either you guys know much about Windows 7? Of course, Lewis said no. Not because he's not a smart guy, but because, well, he's the Mac guy, which means he lives in the Mac world, which means he only knows about kittens and tigers and panthers and pumas and other feline beasts.
Right. All my feeds are coming from Mac-friendly sites. They're not talking about Windows 7.
I would think at least they'd be bashing Windows 7, I mean, if nothing else.
Well,
right?
They've got so much material to work with. It's not like Microsoft is making this real hard. I mean, they're stressing out all the PC users. They're giving the ammunition to the Apple users because here's another one, and you can't even perfect Vista. You're going to create a new operating system.
I've seen the commercials. They decided not to perfect Vista and instead put it into marketing. Haven't you seen that commercial?
It looks like a lot of fun, too. Just record yourself saying, I'm a PC, and at some point you may make it on a commercial.
Yeah.
Yeah, it could happen.
Get everybody involved.
The other thing we were talking about, Kevin and I were both talking about, and I think Lewis even chimed in, we all have a Vista PC. Each one of us in this room, and some of us multiples. And none of us have had any kind of real problem with installing it, with configuring it, with running it, with using it. And maybe you could make the argument that, well, we're computer guys, so we wouldn't. But it's not like we did something magical.
No, and I'm running mine on my Mac.
So is the reality that Windows Vista is not the problem? It's that people have a tough time adapting to change.
Possibly.
And is it? I mean, is that really the issue? Because is Microsoft getting unfair blame then?
Well, every single time an operating system changes, there's a whole mob of people that aren't happy about it.
Yeah, but this time in particular, they've had a heck of a time getting people to jump on their Vista bandwagon.
I remember the last time they had this problem when they released ME, Windows ME.
Yeah?
That was a nightmare.
Well, that had a lot of problems, though.
Yeah, I mean, it legitimately...
I had issues with that out of the box.
Yeah, so did I. I mean, anybody... And I don't. We don't. None of us do with Vista. So Vista maybe isn't the problem. Right? I don't know.
It's a good theory.
Do we need another operating system now? Are we ready? I mean, realistically, they're saying 2010, and knowing Microsoft, that'll get delayed. But is it time already?
Well, and...
I don't know.
And when you call it Windows 7, have you ever seen a good movie when it got to number 7?
It's never... Okay, you win there. I thought you were going to go with the fact that it's a lame name. And come on, Lewis, they're going to change that name, but you're right. The sequels?
Sequel number 7.
Sequel 2 and 3 are pushing it, and by the time you get to 7, yeah.
This is like Jason Goes to Manhattan.
Maybe it's time to change from Windows to something else. Maybe it's time to use a letter. Not X, but maybe Z.
Or doors.
Or doors.
Yeah.
Full doors, forget Windows?
Yeah.
Maybe.
Possibly give it a political theme.
We're going to ponder those thoughts. Blu-ray is dead. Didn't Blu-ray just become the standard?
I thought so.
Well, apparently, according to this week's newsletter, the opinion portion talks about the death of Blu-ray.
Yesterday's technology.
Yesterday's technology already.
But I mean, you got to give it some time. It doesn't happen overnight.
Well, apparently. Oh, this guy's saying, Sony, you guys screwed up royally and nobody wants your technology.
Microsoft, nobody likes you.
No, Microsoft rejects it. Apple rejects it. Everybody but Sony rejects it.
You know, Sony tries to do that stuff so often that you would think they would just get it through their head that they suck at that.
They are the king of proprietary technology.
Well, actually, the queen.
Queen.
Right. If you want to see what we're talking about, the opinion, you want to subscribe to the newsletter, it's easy to do, datadoctors.com. Look for the place to put in your email address, hit the button that says subscribe, and in you go. And if you needed to get a preview before you did because you didn't believe that what I was telling you about how awesome it is true, well, you can just look at the last 20 or so newsletters that have been sent. You can view them online. Just look in the free help section and look under weekly newsletter. You'll find them right there. Should we jump on some phones, talk to people about Windows 7, see what the masses have to say about how they're prepared for maybe 3 years from now, maybe 2 years from now. Maybe
I think there's going to be a lot of screaming and crying if you do that.
Well, the king of screaming and crying, I think, is our first caller. It's Lewis.
But of course, in East Mesa this time.
Lewis in East Mesa. Wow.
Yeah.
All right. That's almost like a whole foreign country, I think.
Almost from where I am. Hey, I'm having trouble with Hyperterminal. I need to use it to connect to a GPS receiver, an electronic sign,
what?
And a pocket computer.
Stop it. You're not talking to all these things. You're are you kidding me?
You're right. I am not talking to them, but I would sure like to.
So anybody else, by show of hands, the entire listening audience, anybody else even know what Hyperterminal is?
Ooh, look at all those hands.
Ooh, three. Wow. So you've got a couple of devices that plug into your computer that you want to try to do some interface programming something with?
Yeah, I want to download information to an electronic sign or, stuff like that.
I will give you what will probably be the hint that will solve your problem.
Okay.
But it's going to cost you.
Okay. Can I tell you what error code I'm getting first?
No, because I don't even care. Because that's how I roll. So, in your communication preferences, and this is going to get a little deep for everybody else, so I apologize in advance.
Well, I appreciate it, and there's probably those three people will appreciate it also.
You ready? In your communication preferences,
yep.
You've probably paid close attention to the different parameters that talk about the stop bits and the even or odd and all that kind of stuff, but what you probably missed the flow control, and you want to turn flow control off. Not hardware, not software, off.
I think it is off.
Make sure it's off, because that is almost always going to solve your problem. The only other thing that's real common is that the bit rate is set too fast, and slow that down to 9600, and that's about as much as I can give without the entire audience tuning out immediately.
Yeah. Those things have all been preset. It says another program is using the selected telephony device. Try again after the other program completes.
All right. So then the other option is that you've picked the wrong serial port or that multiple things are using the serial port. If you have a modem in that computer and you don't ever use it, which is probably the case, I'd recommend removing it to solve your problem easiest. Otherwise, remove it. Tell you what, Lewis, I'm going to take you offline because I'm going to immediately lose everyone in the entire audience because this is really rough and really bad. And it's not that I don't want to help you. And it's not that I don't know how to help you. It's that I care about everybody else listening in their ears.
I started fading off.
I knew you would be. That's why I tried to throw it out quickly and didn't explain myself because I knew nobody else.
I'm actually so excited about what you were just talking about. I'm looking at newsletters from 1999 on the website.
You'd have to go back further, my friend.
Well, that says page 25 was the highest page I could go to, and apparently for dial-up, when you change your area code, it matters.
True that. Remember dial-up?
No.
Remember when we first got high speed and when you tried that out and it was like, oh my gosh, this is so fast. And then you went to the friend's house who didn't have high speed, they had dial-up. You finally understood for the first time what crack addicts go through, because I couldn't deal anymore.
Y2K. Remember that?
Quiet.
I'm reading it right now.
Read to yourself silently, sorry. Please.
Remember when the upload was dial-up and the high speed was...
Yeah, that's that funny story. That's how Lewis and Data Doctors met, is on a half dial-up, half not kind of connection.
Broadband.
Or, yeah, sort of. Half broadband. Anyway, that's reminiscing. That's for the past. We're going to talk to you about the future. The future of Windows, Windows 7. And we've got that, of course, resources posted, datadoctors.com. All right, we do live in the surreal world.
The smallest world ever.
I just got the phone call. Anybody who's been listening since the beginning of the show, which is not that long, only half an hour.
3D.
Yeah, we were making fun of Lewis, really, because he has two first names almost. And then it for some reason reminded me of the story of a guy I knew from way back in junior high who just now called Dan Daniel. He said Dan Daniel. His name was Daniel Daniel. And actually his middle name is Daniel also, which was, it was just an interesting story. And then I said afterwards, right, that you never know. People could be listening. And I've had plenty of people call after listening to this show saying, hey, are you the same guy? And there he was. And then after I hung up, I realized, because Lewis said, hey, you should have told him to come on the air. Oh, yeah. So.
I haven't spoke with him since you were.
Junior high.
Yeah.
I mean, he's just a guy I knew, you know. I mean, we didn't, like, pal around and hang out and stuff. I think we were in a couple classes together and stuff. I don't know.
Trigonometry and.
Junior high, bro. Junior high. Junior high.
I thought you were advanced. Computer genius.
I'm so advanced that you can't even understand. It would blow your mind.
Blows my mind every week.
All right, let's get back to something serious, something worthwhile. We're talking about Windows 7, and I know it's you're just now gripping and bracing yourself because Windows Vista came on the scene, and you can't stand it. And one of my other friends called me off air and said, hey, you know, I work for a major airline, insert name here, and you know, our software doesn't even work with Windows Vista, and she reminded me that some people would like to switch but can't. I get that, too. I'm still kind of amazed that a lot of people haven't, and I'm thinking Microsoft's probably pretty amazed as well, which is why they're sort of pushing forward with a new, complete new operating system probably sooner than they would have otherwise.
Well, what was that commercial that they had? It was kind of like the Folgers commercial. We've secretly replaced your OS with this OS.
I don't remember.
I forget the name they gave it.
I remember one with Jerry Seinfeld. I remember one where the guy is sitting with the Apple.
Well, that's
guy.
Just because he was in the shower washing his shoes or whatever he was
doing.
Yeah,
that was pretty awesome, right?
It's kind of
weird.
Yeah, a little weird.
Yeah. Reminded me of the Seinfeld episode where they had the garbage disposal installed in the shower. Yeah. Anyway, Pete's looking at us like, you guys are supposed to talk about technology, about computers. You're supposed to help people with things. Tell you what, we're going to get back to doing that. We got lines open, 602-277-5827. It's 277-KTAR. That's the number you can dial now. That's the number, in fact, Steve dialed. Steve, welcome to the Computer Corner. How can we help?
Hey, guys. Thanks a lot. And thanks for making Macintosh part of the show, finally.
Finally. Hey.
Finally.
It took us a while, but we had to wait for more than four people to be using it. Now that there's five, we're ready to rock
well,
and roll.
Now that you've got about 15% of the population, that's pretty good.
15%? Hey. Lewis wishes.
Those are iPhoners. Those are iPhoners.
Yeah.
Hey, Lou, I've got a question for you. I never have problems with my Mac. I've got several of them in the house, but this one little issue, and I think I can probably fix it by reinstalling the OS, is on my mail application. That's the email program. And with the signature, every time that I quit email, the signature goes away. So in order to put it back on, I relaunch, and I've got to go to one of my former emails, copy and paste it over in the preferences, and then I have my signature again. But what down in the core operating system is causing that signature not to be saved?
I'm pretty sure I know the answer to this, even though I'm not a Mac guy. If you add Mac Media's URL into your signature, it will save. It's a feature. Sorry, go ahead, Lewis.
No, that's pretty good though.
That sounds like a preference to me. Possibly a corrupt preference. Have you tried going into the library and throwing away the mail plist?
You know, I haven't done that, but that's probably a good one.
Wait, Steve, you know what that means?
Yeah, no, absolutely.
Throwing away the mail plist?
Yeah,
you make fun. You guys make fun of us Windows users. Come on.
Well, we didn't have to go into the BIOS or anything.
The BIOS? You can't even pronounce it. Listen to him.
Yeah. Macs are not a difficult machine to figure out.
No, I get that. I've spent my fair share of time on a Mac machine. I dig them. That's cool.
Yeah, but if I can go to the library and I just just throw out the key list, it'll create a new one.
Yeah.
I can try that, or would I want to go back and just reinstall the OS and do an archive install?
I would try the preferences first, but yeah,
okay.
I mean, definitely reinstalling would most likely fix that.
This is
wait a minute,
Windows.
No. Check this out.
Does sound like a Windows thing. I know. Archive and install.
You Mac guys make fun of us Windows users for having to reinstall and listen to what you're talking about. I just want to make that point.
No, but I'll tell you what. This has only happened once. This is the first time this has ever happened, so I never have a problem with my Mac.
Keep saying that, Steve.
This is a minor little thing.
You keep thinking that. You keep saying that.
Well, I'll tell you what. I've thoroughly enjoyed your Mac portion of the show, and I'm finally glad that you did that, because I'm one of those Mac evangelists that just believe that the world ought to be operating on a Mac.
We call you Mac militants, my friend.
That's me. I'm a Mac militant.
Perfect.
All right. Join the Army.
Thanks for the call, Steve.
You guys, thank you very much.
Bye-bye.
I'm definitely reminded of Windows. If you can't have a signature saved, the solution is
Korea's
nuke the OS.
Wait, Kevin. No. First, you go in and go into the library and nuke the P list.
The P list.
And then you do an archive install, and then you... Dude, are you kidding me?
When in doubt, reinstall.
I thought it was
You know the laws of computing.
Repent, reboot, and... I don't know. I mean, something. There was the
repair,
three R's.
Reboot, reload.
Yeah, exactly. There's that. I don't know. You just blew my mind a little bit there, just so you know.
Well, let's see what we can do some more.
So let's talk a little bit about Windows 7 and some of the resources we've got posted. If you're looking for some sneak previews, so to speak, Lewis found a great one.
I got a nice picture off the internet. It says, "Welcome to Windows Vomit."
Windows Vomit.
No, I got this off of Wikipedia when I was looking for information on Windows 7.
Wow.
This is one of the screenshots they posted.
That's a solid reference library Wikipedia is maintaining there. Jeez. We've got resources, our own resources, and probably a little bit less silly resources posted. datadoctors.com/radio. You'll see some screenshots and just a preview, some ideas of what things will look like. What Microsoft is trying to shoot for, their big thing they're talking about is trying to increase performance, which... I'm guessing if you went and took a poll of people who haven't adopted and you asked why not, performance is probably not going to be the number one issue. So I'm hoping that they're sort of looking at what's really causing people to not want to come across to the...
Isn't the goal always to increase performance regardless of what you're putting out?
Yeah, I suppose.
I would think so. I mean, that would be on the top 10 list.
I would think. And then we've got some interesting sort of ideas where we sort of compare and contrast the traditional operating system to maybe something that's coming down the road that's sort of here today, but it keeps getting more and more robust all the time. But it's called cloud computing, computing in the platform, sort of the Internet OS. And Google has made sort of a decent stab and made some headway, and they've got certainly a number of applications that are more and more useful every day that they're getting more and more people signed up for, not just the web-based email that you all know, but their Google Docs, their spreadsheets, and their word processing thing has really become pretty feature-packed and pretty amazing what they've been able to do in a browser that's cross-browser compatible, meaning it works in Firefox and Internet Explorer and all those things. They're definitely making some headway. I was just at a conference this week for a piece of more enterprise software called Salesforce.com, and it used to be just a kind of an online CRM, meaning customer relationship management software, but it's turned into so much more, and it's really kind of amazing what's going on out there. And Microsoft just announced that they're working on their own competing sort of internet platform. So there's likely to be some things in some coming years that's going to develop in that area that's going to make this whole thing even more of a muddled mess for the short term anyway. But anyway, we invite you to give us a call, talk to us about whatever your issue is. If you want to talk about Windows 7 or your Mac issue with your P-list and your reinstall archive mode, or whatever. We'll take all that. 602-277-5827. It's 277-KTAR. Let's take one more here before we have to go to break. And I'm looking. I think Jed has been hanging out the longest. Jed.
Hello.
Thanks for holding, and how can we help?
Oh, you're very welcome, and thanks for taking the call. I have Windows XP, and I had the gremlin known as my father actually come and visit me about 2 weeks ago. And whenever he comes, he creates computer problems that I'd never have seen before.
Did he call him a gremlin?
I did.
Okay.
Yes, which is kind of like a virus, right?
But when it's
in human form, we change it to gremlin.
Absolutely, and he's out of the country, so he can't hear me now.
Perfect. Well, you know, we do broadcast online, and so...
He's asleep.
Perfect.
Anyway, I've got Windows XP. There are three profiles that are set up on it. Two of them work fine. The profile that was mine has now completely lost the taskbar and has the inability when you use the Windows key to bring up any items that would have been on the start menu or anything else. So I'm completely befuddled as to what to do next, really.
So there's no taskbar, and what would have been sort of the equivalent of clicking on Start, which is either Control-Escape or the Windows button, doesn't bring up the Start menu?
Correct.
So my guess is that profile is not... for some reason, it's not running one of the core parts of Windows called Explorer.
Okay.
And it's not the same as Windows Explorer. It's sort of the... Well, what used to be called the shell of the operating system.
Okay.
And somehow that's been prevented from running, or it's sort of locked up in process.
Okay.
It's pretty common. I'll give you an example of where this is done on purpose. If you go into a retailer that happens to run a point-of-sale system that runs on top of the Windows operating system, and there's a big chain of haircutters that comes to mind that I know does this, they disable that purposely so that only their software runs. And if you exit their software, there's no Windows, there's no my computer, there's no start button, there's nothing, but they're still in a Windows environment. And so it's something that is possible to be done and be done purposely. So it may be something that just got disabled. You might check if you can get into that profile.
Okay, I am.
You know how to do a Control-Delete, and it brings up a couple of choices?
Yeah.
One of them is going to be Task Manager.
Okay.
And when you bring up Task Manager, you can click on File and then Run.
No, I don't have that. All I've got is an option to end task, switch to, or new task.
Really? End task, switch to, or new task. All right, tell you what I'm going to do, because we're running up on a break here and we're a little tight on time. I'm going to take you off the air and see if I can help you out.
Sure.
Because this is a little bit one-on-one kind of material anyway.
Thank you.
So I'm going to take you and place you right back where I found you.
No, archive and install wouldn't fix it?
Don't even know what that means, friend. Don't even know. But we can probably do it with... That was a workout trying to help Jed offline there. I don't think I got him very far.
Archive and install.
Archive and install. What's archive and install in the Mac world mean?
It's an option when you're doing the installation off the OS disk.
What's it do, though?
It just takes the user information, sets it aside, puts in a new system.
Oh, it's a way to reload and keep all your junk.
Yeah.
I gotcha. We got that in our world, too, but we don't call it archive and install or whatever.
Sounds sophisticated, doesn't it?
Yeah, it sounds pretty awesome. It sounds like a cool marketing name like Steve would do. You know, Steve Jobs.
Yeah.
You know, that guy.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, what are we talking about?
Windows 7.
What's Windows 7?
It's the next revision.
Next revision of what?
Nobody knows.
All right. No, we're talking about the brand new operating system. No, we don't mean Windows Vista. We mean the next one. I know you haven't upgraded yet. I know you haven't changed to the latest new one, but there's a new one around the corner, believe it or not. Well, around the corner in relative terms. They're saying early 2010, but that date is still sort of tentative. If you want to see resources, get a preview, a sneak peek, take a look under the hood, under the covers, whatever the look might be. We've got resources at datadoctors.com/radio. You can check those out. And, of course... we're talking to you with whatever issues, questions, consternation, problems, and trouble you might have. 602-277-5827. That's the number for you. But because all the lines are full, you'll want to wait for someone else to hang up, and then that's your chance to dial in. Again, 602-277-KTAR. We're going to see if we can help a few more people out before we have to go to top of the hour news to get you caught up with some things. But before we do that, let's wait a minute. It's possible. There's another guy with another Mac problem. And remember that whole two names thing? Guess what his first name is? It's George. George, welcome to the Computer Corner. I've got with me Louis Georges, who is the Mac guy, the Mac guru, the Mac king. And I know you got a Mac question, so fire away.
Okay, the question is, I had a Mac thrust upon me. I'm a PC guy. And anyway, I got a couple thousand contacts in Outlook, and I would like to see how can I get the contacts from Outlook into the Mac.
Okay.
I tried doing the PFC, exporting from Outlook. That doesn't work.
You want to make it real easy so that it's just simplified, or
you want the easy way? I'm guessing, not the really hard, technical, complicated way, right?
That is correct.
Yeah.
There are some software applications out there that you can get shareware programs, and then there's some paid programs that you can get that will move that information over. There is one, I believe it's called Tinker Toy.
Tinker Toy. I remember Tinker Toys when I was a kid. Those were awesome. I had an Erector set. I had Tinker Toys. Lincoln Logs. You had any of those, Kevin?
I believe the company was Tinker Toy. Yeah. And they have an application that will export that information from you, including your mail as well. And that will import into Apple Mail on the Mac platform.
Now, you're going to want to, George, have like a thumb drive or something that you can do. You can push, put in on the PC to save all this stuff sort of in transition and then plug it into the Mac side to be able to pull it off.
Yeah, I'm aware of that. I can do that part. It's just the fact is I tried exporting to a flash drive, in other words, a PST file, And that didn't work. That didn't work at all, but I guess so.
When you exported it as a CSV, it didn't work?
No, I tried a PSD.
Oh, yeah, no. Try exporting it in a more standard sort of open format.
CSV.
That stands for
CSV?
Yeah, it stands for comma-separated values.
All right.
And that's like a sort of a standard that most things in the planet should be able to sort of talk to. And so then once you've got that exported CSV file, comma-separated values, right, you've got that on your flash drive, you plug it into your Mac, and go through the import option and navigate to where that CSV file is, and bada bing, bada boom.
Yeah, one thing you may have to do when you bring it onto the Mac side is align the fields, those comma-separated fields, and make sure that they are the same on the Windows information that's going over to the Mac side.
They call that usually like field mapping, where it'll have these, for each contact there might be 7 different fields, and so you got to map up, this is a phone number, this is the email, this is the address, whatever the case might be.
Yeah. Now, if you want a software package, it's a commercial package that you can buy that comes with the cable and everything. It's called Move to Mac. And Move to Mac will take all your information, including your documents and music and photos, as well as your mail, and bring that over to the Mac and put it in all the appropriate areas for you. And that's Move to Mac.
Move to Mac. Okay, so there are two things. One is, I understand the CSV. I think I can try that. I was trying the PSD, and that didn't work, but CSV might work, okay? And then you said that, and then I just have to, when I do that, I've got to realign the fields. That's what you said I have to do when I do the import on the Mac side.
Yeah, it should kind of walk you through almost like wizard style.
All right.
So it should be fairly straightforward and obvious. But Lewis said if that's not going to work for you, if you want to get something that's a little bit more robust, that's going to help with a lot more stuff, it's a commercial piece of software, so you're going to pay money for it. Move to Mac was his suggestion of something that might help not just with this transition, but everything else that you got that's sort of standard stuff.
All right.
Yeah, and the company that makes that's called Detto. It's Detto. And you can get that off Detto.com.
All right. Okay.
Okay, George.
All right.
Hey, thanks for the call. We appreciate you and the other Mac militants out there that are helping to transform the show.
You see, my Mac army is growing.
I think it shouldn't be Moved to Mac. It should be called Move to the Dark Side. Right? I don't know. We got a line open. It's open just for you. 602-277-5827. That's the number for you. Of course, check us out online. We've got resources. We've got all kinds of cool stuff. datadoctors.com/radio. And please hang out through the break, because when we come back, it's our Geek Speak of the Week, our Head Whack of the Week, and of course, more of your calls and questions right here on the Computer Corner.
The thing I'm having is I just bought a stupid wireless mouse.
But can I do that with Wi-Fi?
Now my screensaver doesn't work.
And that's the solution I'm looking for.
Yep, that would be it.
Something that they call drive-by download.
Okay, stop there.
Try to boot into something called safe mode.
Take my advice and go get this free program that is out of this world.
Eliminate those and see if the problem still persists.
Oh, that's a great idea. Okay, I didn't think about that.
Does your computer bite?
There's nothing that comes in the computer that's of any value.
Has your hard drive gone floppy?
The head whack is the thing that makes you kind of go,
oh! It's time to call the Computer Corner.
We're not your daddy's computer radio show.
Is this thing on?
On News Talk 92.3. KTAR.
Welcome to hour number 2 of the Computer Corner. Brandon Disney, Kevin Church, Louis Georges, the Data Doctors, and Mac Guy, Mac Media Inc. guy here to help you out with some stuff and some stuff and some junk. If you missed any part of the first hour, fear not, we've got resources posted for you. We've got links for you to ask questions, make suggestions, participate in a blog. We just got cool stuff. It's datadoctors.com/radio. Of course, anytime you're anywhere at the site and you want to subscribe to our newsletter, you just look for the link to subscribe and fill in the blanks, and it walks you through the rest. I can promise you that there's good stuff in each week's newsletter, things that will help you steer clear of troubles, stay, hopefully, virus and adware and spyware and junkware free, and perhaps we'll make it so that you don't have to do an archive install of your Mac OS X anytime soon.
Just makes you a better person.
It does, in general. I mean, Lewis is a subscriber. He reads it. Kevin did once.
Yeah.
Right?
A couple times.
Yeah, a couple, 3-4 times or so. And then some. It's good for you. Trust me.
He's over here shopping for the holidays.
You're already holiday shopping?
I got to get some ideas, and during the break, I started fooling around looking at some stuff. And
what kind of ideas you got so far? It's a little early to be talking, but, you know, people want to know.
I got a lot of great presents to give to myself.
Like what?
I don't know yet.
What can I get for you, Kevin? What can I do for you?
Get me a Wii game.
A Wii game?
Yeah.
What kind of Wii game?
I've been addicted to that Nintendo Wii a lot lately.
Really?
Yeah, I got that Mario versus Sonic Olympics game.
Mario versus Sonic
Olympics.
Yeah,
it's got a lot of, like, the Beijing Olympics.
I've actually played that one.
It's pretty cool.
Uh-huh. Is there a really awesome swimming guy in there?
No, but there was something that reminded me of... Well, there is swimming, but something that reminded me of that game Duck Hunt.
I liked Duck Hunt.
Duck Hunt was fun. But that's tough with that controller.
Yeah? Okay. I feel you. So, a Wii game.
You feeling my flow?
A Wii game.
Word.
And you don't mean a small game. I got you.
Yes, sir.
And I'd like a taser.
You know what? I'm not going to help you with that. Sorry. There's something wrong with me buying you a taser. There's too many implications there that are not right. Anyway, we'll talk more about the holidays and holiday shopping and shopping for gadgets and stuff, I'm sure, as the holidays approach. Kevin, that's just not the theme of today's show. I'm sorry.
Well, you know, with Windows 7, and that's exciting and everything, but for me,
what did you just do to me, dude?
Cool.
What did you...
That's exciting and everything.
All right, we'll get back to callers. How's that then, huh?
That's better.
Let's try Steve, who's up next here on the Computer Corner. Steve, welcome.
Hi. Thanks for taking the call.
You bet. How can we help, sir?
I just moved, and I recently plugged in my computer, and it wouldn't come on. Well, it does come on for like 2 seconds, and it shuts off. Just wondering if the hard drive needs replacing.
Did you move anywhere near Camelback and Central? Because that's where we're at, and we've got some serious power problems around here. Luckily, the station is awesome, and then more so, because you would never know that we've been without power for most of the broadcast so far, and here we are. No, I'm kidding. So you plug it in, you turn it on, it powers on for a few seconds, off it goes, and that's all.
Yeah,
so that could be a power supply, that could be a motherboard. That could be something as simple and silly as on some power supplies on the back they have a switch.
Yeah, I tried resetting the little red switch and it didn't work.
That's not really a reset switch. That chooses between European voltage, 220 voltage, and 110, so you want to make sure it's set to 110. Sometimes little kids will flip those things over to the other direction and you're not going to have a whole lot of luck.
Oh, okay.
So I mean, check those kinds of things out. I mean, without somebody with some diagnostic tools and things, pretty hard to just sort of throw out a guess, but I mean, the most common two likely things would be a motherboard or a power supply.
Okay, thanks.
And that narrows it down to 80% of your components, so there you go.
Okay.
All right,
thanks.
And good luck with that. Thanks for the call. Bye-bye. Was that helpful at all?
You know, with something like that, there's like two, maybe three things that it probably is. And you nailed two out of the three.
Yeah, what's the other one?
Those little cords that connect the power switch up front to the motherboard to say turn on, turn off.
Oh, yeah. That's pretty less common, but you're right.
A lot less common.
Could be.
Yeah. More often than not in the Mac world, it's power supply.
We don't care about the Mac world.
I know.
No, you guys just format everything anyway.
Yeah, just start over. Who cares?
Just take that motherboard out and wash it.
Exactly.
Yeah.
There's one that's looking a little intriguing to me here, so I gotta find out. Doug, what's your story, Doug?
I am trying to access the hard drive of a Gateway 3520 notebook.
Okay.
And I'm trying to figure out it says that HDD password is required. And I've been looking online all over the place for workarounds. And
so you're trying to just get data off of this drive?
No, I'm trying to format the drive. I'm trying to erase and format it.
Oh, okay.
There's an HDD password required before I can even get into it. I can get in the BIOS, but I can't get the password. I bought it.
Yeah, probably in the BIOS, you can turn on and off whether or not there is a password for such a thing, and you just need to turn that off.
You need the password to access.
Okay, so if you don't have that, then the only other thing is to do what is kind of sort of referred to as a hard reset of the BIOS, and that requires opening that laptop up to do such a thing.
I already have it open, and I've taken out the battery. I guess I'm expecting you're talking about the battery which stores that information.
Well, on a laptop, there's going to be a couple of batteries, right? There's the regular battery that the consumer would normally.
Right,
charge and such.
That.
Right,
wouldn't that be in the PRAM battery?
Someone to smack you.
Am I speaking a foreign language again?
Pretty much. Then there's also a battery that's to power the BIOS and kind of keep its memory intact.
Right. How long would I take that out?
Well, taking it out doesn't always do the trick, because these days a lot of the BIOS settings are sort of written to something that can retain its memory even with that battery out.
Mm-hmm.
And so usually there's something, and it's different for different models, there's something that has to be shorted. I mean, there's like a couple of pins.
Oh.
And you have to know what those pins are and then short them, usually using something called a jumper.
Oh.
And you do that in sequence.
There are jumpers in notebooks?
Yeah, sometimes. Sometimes okay. You have to just short them in different ways. I mean, it all depends. What I would do is use the power of Google and get real specific with your searches.
Yeah. I've been doing that for the last 2 hours waiting for you guys to get on the radio.
Yeah, I mean, I wish I had the encyclopedia in my brain of every model and how to do that. I mean, this is pretty obscure stuff, and I if it was me, that's what I'd be doing, is pulling up Mr. Google and saying, hey, I'd be asking Jeeves.
That's what I'm going to do.
There you go.
Thank you very much.
Good luck.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. He's going to ask Jeeves. I've never even asked Jeeves anything.
I've tried a couple times, but Jeeves did not respond correctly.
The name alone was cool. I loved their little marketing deal, Ask Jeeves, but I never found myself actually ever going to ask.com.
Still a website?
I think. I don't know. How would we know?
Bring it up.
Oh, there's that. Yeah, I think we could try that. I don't know. Doesn't work for me. I don't know why. Anyway.
Yeah, if you don't spend at least $1 billion on commercials, I won't even touch it.
Good to know. Good to know. I'm going to check. We're going to take a quick break here. I'm going to check the email to see if we got anything. Obama winning has caused a whole new type of email attack. Have you gotten the email yet?
I've gotten a few.
There's quite a few of them out there trying to take advantage of people's sort of maybe polarized political views. Beware of the emails circulating about all kinds of things. Most of them seem awfully fictional just reading them, but there's a whole number of them out there that are related to all things political, and specifically Mr. Obama. If you want to get an idea of what we're talking about, it was something included in this week's newsletter. See, I told you we help keep you safe and secure. You can preview the newsletter and subscribe, datadoctors.com. Click in the Free Help Center, and then click on Weekly Newsletter. It's as easy as that. It'll be self-explanatory from there, I promise you. And it's good for you. Tastes like chicken.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm feeling the need to just talk to people and help them out with stuff, nobody's seeming to care much about the Windows 7 thing, and I don't know.
Have we even received a call on Windows 7?
No. We're going to force somebody to talk about it. How's that sound?
How about me required in order to get on the air?
Hey, Mark, welcome to the Computer Corner.
Hey, thanks for taking my call.
You bet. Before we get into your issue, do you have a pulse at all about Windows 7?
Yeah, I do. I'm looking forward to it, but I'm happy with Vista right now.
You're a Vista guy. See?
I am.
There's Vista is only a non-adopted operating system, second only to all things Mac. But anyway, so you're looking forward to Windows 7 that's coming out. They're now saying that possibly the holiday season of 2009 or 2010 at worst. So it's not that far off.
Well, it'll be for my next build.
There you go. So what can we help you with, though, today? I'm sure it's not Windows 7. I hope it's not.
No, I got a... Well, my mother has a computer I've been trying to help her with, and it looks like it's a hardware problem where it's randomly rebooting. I've eliminated the software with the format reinstall.
Lewis is real familiar with that. Sorry, Lewis is real familiar with that. Just wanted to point that out. Go ahead.
I scanned the hard drive. There's no bad sectors. Did a MEM test and no bad RAM. So it's down to the motherboard or power supply. And I was wondering if there's any way to test a power supply to see if it's good or not.
Well, there's two ways. One requires something called a power supply tester, which is a little device that is sold. Going to be a little bit obscure. You can probably find them online and things and order them. I can tell you that you're going to spend about as much as a really good power supply, and so you might be better served to go buy a decent power supply and try swapping it. If the problem goes away, guess what? You found your problem.
Okay.
And if the problem doesn't go away,
Keep
the packaging and return it to that place that you can buy tons of things that have been returned to a ton of times that has a name that also is shared with a chain of grocery stores all over.
Okay. Okay. That makes sense. I mean, I got about 5 power supplies, but all of them are at least 5 years old, and who knows what's working and what's not.
Right. Well, I'm sure they're also then probably, if they're that old, they're not ATX, and they're probably the old school AT, which means they won't plug in, and that's a whole other issue.
Yeah. Well, this is an older computer as it is, and it's a Pentium 4, 2.66 gigahertz, so... But she's not wanting to buy all the parts unless we needed to. So.
Sure, yeah. No, I would. I mean, to me, the quick, easy way is swap out with a different known good power supply, and if at least temporarily you can do that, and if the problem goes away, then you know that's your issue, and if it doesn't, then keep hunting.
Okay, well, that's kind of what I was thinking. The only thing is that sometimes it takes a couple of days for it to reboot automatically like that.
Yeah, well, maybe give it back to her, let her play with it for a few days, and tell her, you know, to if it does happen again, let you know, and if it doesn't, in a week or so, you'll be back to swap it out with something more permanent.
Okay. Well, I'll go ahead and probably go that route then. So most testers are at least about 50, 60 plus then?
It's been a while since I purchased one of those things, but I want to say they're 75 to 100 bucks maybe.
Oh, okay. Yeah, it's not worth it going that route then.
Yeah, I mean, unless you're doing it. I mean, we have those in our stores, but that's all we do with our lives is fix computers, so it makes sense. But, yeah, I can't imagine for someone that's sounds like you're kind of a hobbyist plus maybe, so...
Yeah.
Yeah, I wouldn't spend the money on that kind of thing.
Okay.
All right.
Well, go ahead and switch power supplies and see what happens after a week.
All
right.
Appreciate
your help.
Good luck. And, hey, when you find out what the real problem is, and you want to call back and tell me I was completely wrong or I was completely right, that's awesome. Feel free to do so.
I will do so. You have a good one.
Thanks. You too, Mark.
All right. Bye.
Bye-bye. You were going to say the same thing, weren't you?
Yeah.
Exactly. You're not even in the game, dude. You're so busy looking at Windows 7 and all the awesomeness and its glory that you can't even...
Yeah,
you're going to have to take his laptop away.
I'm really caught up in the moment over here.
I'm disappointed.
We were looking here to see if this super bar that they're talking about in Windows 7 is really super.
The super bar. What's the super bar?
I don't know.
When I looked at it, it sort of reminded me a little bit, although a little bit different look and feel, but a little bit like the dock in the Mac world.
Well, that's what I was thinking, because it had that translucent look to it.
Right. And it seemed to sort of have the ability to, when you float over things, they...
Windows would open and pop up. And
yeah.
Yeah.
And so it looks sort of... It's what we call Chrome, right? It's fancy, cool stuff, but... At the end of the day, I think most people, if you talk to them, they want something that functions. They want something that works, that doesn't lock up, that doesn't bug them, that doesn't, you know, that just works, and so it's sort of intuitive, and it's just sort of...
So you're saying people aren't looking for an OS full of shareware?
No, I don't think I'm saying that at all, actually. Thinking about it. No, actually, you're completely missing my point, which means I'm making it wrong. Yeah, no, shareware. I'm trying to figure that out, what that even means. Oh, you mean like that cool MS Paint? That's pretty awesome.
There you go.
You're right. That is awesome.
And the 200 other applications that are bundled in there.
We're not going to talk about those 200 applications. When we come back, it's our Geek Speak of the Week, Headwhack of the Week, and of course, more of your calls and questions. 602. Welcome back to the Computer Corner. It's the final half hour. If you missed any part of the show, fear not. We'll get you caught up. Datadoctors.com/radio. All the resources, all the links. Past shows going back years and years and years. Audio archives. It's all there for you anytime online. Check it out. Datadoctors.com/radio. We've been talking a little bit about, or a lot about, or a medium amount about, the new Windows OS. And no, we don't mean Windows Vista. We mean the one after that. The one that's set to launch tentatively. Just over a year from now, they're saying around the holiday season in 2009. And if I do my math right, that's a year from now, right? Windows 7. We've got those resources again posted for you, datadoctors.com/radio. Before we jump back into the phones, it's time for our... Well, it's just that time of the show where we bring you a term, a phrase, some vernacular from the language of geekdom. It's our Geek Speak of the Week. And I think, who's doing...
I got it.
Kevin's got the Geek Speak of the Week this week.
It's buffer.
Buffer?
A buffer.
Like, Lewis is buffer than I? Because he works out at the gym more often?
No, I don't think that's it.
No.
I know that's not it.
Yeah, because it's true, I am actually way more buff than Lewis is.
It's actually a temporary data storage area on a computer, usually like the RAM, where the computer will send certain things to be done so it can move on to something else. So like on your printers, it will send the information to a buffer to deal with the printer while it prints, while it goes on and does something else.
So it's a place to offload junk so it can work on more important stuff.
Pretty much.
I do that daily, but stuff never gets out of the buffer.
Right. That's the whole OCD thing that you got to work on. Yeah. Or schizophrenia or whatever thing that is. Oh, autism. You know, I don't know what it is. It's something you've got that you got to work on. I don't know.
Well, you know, you deal with what you have.
So next time you're at a cocktail party and one of those geeky guys tries to say, hey, and they're talking all cool, like they want to talk to you about cache. We call it cache memory, but, you know, and buffers and all that. Then you now know what they're talking about. And you can say, Oh, yeah? I know you are, but no. I don't know what you can say.
Yeah, I don't think anybody will probably think you're cooler for it, but
probably
it's
not
another word to use.
Exactly. Because we're going to continue the theme here, a lot of people have been calling with their Mac questions, their Mac issues. And up next, it's Ken on the Computer Corner. Ken?
Yeah. Hi.
This is the Ken that's not really Ken, but he
right.
calls himself Ken.
But, yes, I do have a Mac question, and I love my Mac.
You have way more than a Mac.
Yes, I do. I have three, but they're all old.
You have more than three, don't you?
One's orange, one's blue, and then I have the iMac with the flat screen, which is the latest, the one we have with the bubble bottom.
Yeah, that cool, big screen-looking,
yeah.
awesome
yeah.
one. Yeah.
Now, my problem is, Cox came in, and they gave me a new Scientific Atlantic modem, okay? And now I can't hook up the three computers that I had hooked up before to it. Now I have a router, and it was hooked up from the modem to the router to the three TVs in different, three computers in different rooms. And now I can't get them to work with the router that I have. And I'm thinking that maybe my computers are too old and the modem that they gave me is too updated and won't recognize my three computers. Now, I was thinking maybe I need a new router, but if I got a new router, and would this modem hook up to the router and then recognize my computer?
So now you've confused the situation, I think, because I'm confused, but I think I know more about what you're talking about. So you've got this new quote-unquote modem, but that's really a bad piece of terminology, but we use that anyway.
Just a cable modem.
That thing is capable of being both a router, doing wireless. It's capable of being the whole sort of kit and caboodle, right?
Okay.
But you want to plug in instead your AirPorts?
I have an Asante router. It's an old router.
All right.
Oh.
It might be bad, too.
It's probably 10 base T.
It's dated. But I'm thinking that maybe, I'm thinking that the, what
it's
Cox gave me is too updated for the router that I have, you know?
Lewis is saying very loudly by shaking his head up and down, which doesn't translate well on the air, but he's shaking his head in a yes fashion.
Okay.
I would say go and purchase yourself a new AirPort or...
But this thing that you said Cox gave you, it's
has wireless.
If it's capable of doing all the functions of being a router and being wireless.
Well, no, it's just it hooks up directly to the back of the computer, and I tried
like through a USB port or through
USB port. Yes, no, through the
Ethernet.
Internet.
Okay.
Through the internet, and when I tried hooking it up to the router, and then from the router to my computer, then it didn't record. It wouldn't get on the internet for me. You see?
Yeah, I probably. It sounds like the hub you're going into, the Asante hub, is probably very dated because it is a hub. It's not even a switch, and it's only 10 base T.
Right.
So get that old relic out of there and swap it in with something that's built in the. In the new millennium, and we might be in better shape.
Well, I heard you say that, you know, everything lasts about 3 years in the world of computers.
Well, we were actually making fun of the fact that Vista just launched, it seems like yesterday, and they're already talking about a new operating system a year from now. So, but that is the trend.
Well, I bought a Blu-ray, too, and I was very dissatisfied with it. So.
Well, the rumor is that that's a dead technology, too, you know. So.
I know. I should have... Before I bought it, I should have realized that it didn't have all of the bells and whistles on it that I really wanted, you know, before I bought it.
Yeah. Well.
So anyway, thanks for your advice.
Yeah, I would swap that out. If you want to get something fun, you might want to try a time capsule. That's from Apple.
Okay.
And that's a it's an airport router. It's also a backup device, and it's a switch as well. So it's got a little of everything on the back of it.
No slicing and dicing, though.
On my way.
All right.
All right. Thanks a lot.
Thanks for the call.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Lots of fun.
That's three Mac callers in one show.
Three's a charm.
I'm on Mac overload, my friend.
I'm telling you, this army is growing at a tremendous rate.
The army? The Mac army?
The Mac army.
Oh, awesome. Hey, sorry, I just got a cool text message. My boy.
Your boy?
My boy. My son.
Okay. I thought you were my boy.
And my daughter. Yeah, well, my kids. They just started soccer, and today was their first game, and my son scored the only goal, and they won the game.
They won the game.
It's awesome.
Good.
Nice.
Look at the proud dad.
Congratulations.
Exactly. That's awesome.
You know, I have a soccer game tomorrow.
You have a soccer game?
I do.
Can I come watch you play soccer?
You can come down there.
I probably won't.
Well, I need a fan base.
Yeah? Where are you playing soccer at, Lewis? Because I'm sure there are a few people. Well, the ladies mostly who want to come check out Lewis playing soccer.
Well, you know,
Lewis is single. Did I mention that? And he's a Mac guy, which I don't know what that means, but
it would help if I check my schedule because we go from field to field.
So you have no idea.
I have no idea which one it is.
Perfect. Go to every soccer field. You'll find Lewis at one of them. Probably in Scottsdale somewhere.
I just hang out at soccer fields on Sunday.
Safe bet that it'll be in Scottsdale somewhere?
North Scottsdale, I believe.
North Scottsdale.
North.
All right. I'll go drive to every soccer field in North Scottsdale and I'm sure run into you.
So did you you want to hear about the head whack of the week?
Sure, why not?
Because this is a site I've never heard of until today.
The head whack of the week. This is for people who are, you know, haven't been a part of the show for the last couple of years. First of all, shame on you. Second of all, the head whack is it's the thing in your computer that drives you nuts, that makes you crazy, that you're like, ugh, this one thing more than anything makes me want to pull my hair out and scream.
And during the holidays, when is the best time to buy airline tickets?
Wait a minute. Didn't you just give me the answer in the question? During the holidays. You said during the holidays, when's the best time? Well, during the holidays.
Well, before, or, you know, how many weeks should you give yourself?
So you mean like in today's economy?
Today's economy.
I would say like the day before, the day of the flight you want to take.
The day of?
Yeah.
You sound like me.
Okay, 14 days or more before your trip.
Well, there's a website for that now. It's called Faircast.
Faircast?
Yes.
Well, I always use kayak.com, which is like ultra uber awesome. Is Faircast more awesomer? And how's that the head whack? Wait a minute, something's confused.
That is the head whack.
No, give me that.
Here, let me get that paper.
Let me see. Head whack, the best time to buy airline. How do you know when to... Oh, I get why it's the head whack. I just got it. It's so that you don't end up being frustrated that you paid too much for your ticket. Faircast will help you avoid having to whack your head.
And this just happens to be...
This is the reverse head whack, which is a whole new position.
For head whacks to come?
Right. Anyway.
Well, in Faircast, you can go hotels and flights and all that stuff, but it looks like something from Microsoft.
Right?
It just happens to be
a Microsoft thing? Maybe Steve Jobs is involved, too?
It's possible.
Maybe not.
Could be an investor.
Anyway, if you want to check that or any other parts, topics, questions, issues, things in our newsletter, you can subscribe or see the archive anytime, datadoctors.com. You click in the free help center and then click where it says weekly newsletter. You'll find all that stuff there. I'm sorry, I'm trying to figure out 2 minutes. Pete's not going to like it, but I'm going to go ahead and go for it anyway. Randall has questions about upgrading something, and I don't know what upgrading something means, but let's just find out.
Okay, I have an older PC, and I want to figure out whether it's more cost-effective to keep it running or to buy maybe another used PC, and I'm also having a memory upgrade problem with it.
Okay.
I'm on disability fixed income. I don't have a lot of money. I use a PC to surf the internet, you know, do some office-type stuff, and I play some computer games, but I can't afford a lot of computer games, so I'm not playing the latest and greatest.
Okay, so you've got something that does what you need, but you need it to do what? Which is causing the need to upgrade.
Well, it's limping along. It's an Athlon XD1800 with an MSI ATX motherboard, and the power supply fan has failed, so it needs a power supply, and the hard drive is 5 years old. It's a 60 gigabyte.
Okay, so a power supply is going to, I mean, the cost of it's $50 plus or minus, and if you don't know how to install it, you're going to pay somebody to do that. But if there's nothing else wrong, I mean, certainly you're going to spend a lot less doing that than just about anything else you're going to do.
Okay, and what type of hard drive do I need since the computer's older?
Well, if you're, I mean, do you need a hard drive because yours is full, because something...
It's old, and it's almost full all the time, yeah.
Okay.
I'm afraid it's going to fail at some point because it's so old.
All right. Do you do anything to back up?
Yes, but I'm... It's a difficult task to do the backups, and I back up to another hard drive that's smaller. I can't back up everything.
Okay.
And I don't have a good backup. I don't have a good
but
backup.
Getting a brand new hard drive that's even bigger is not going to solve the backup issue, and you're just going to put yourself at more risk because you're not backing up more stuff. So,
okay,
so I mean, I'd hate to send you down a path where you've got a new hard drive can fail at any time, just like an old hard drive can. True,
okay.
An old hard drive has some time on it, so it's arguably got more likelihood of failure, but I hate to send you down the path of replacing something that doesn't make a lot of sense. So tell you what, I'm going to give you a little bit of one-on-one, if you don't mind hanging tight for just a second, put you back. Welcome back. It's the final segment on the Computer Corner. If you missed any part of the show, we've got all the resources, all the links, all the stuff to click, see, touch, smell, and taste at datadoctors.com/radio. And, of course, we'll get the audio archives. Assuming that the audio archives were gotten, I understand that there may have been some problem with some of the streaming audio because of the power outage that we've had here in the Central Phoenix area. So if we don't have those, my apologies in advance. But generally speaking, we have audio archives of shows that are available, and you can go back in time and listen to them on demand. They're also available if you are a podcast kind of person. You can search for them in the iTunes store, and you'll find, just type in Data Doctors, you'll find the podcast. And if you're a podcaster, you already know what that means. You know that it makes it automatic download and come to your device and makes it easy. So check that out, too. Right?
Yeah.
Right.
That's actually something they're going to be adding in the new software revision of the iPhone.
What's that?
Podcast directly to your phone.
That's pretty slick.
Meaning don't have to interface with the...
Exactly.
Wait, just let them come down and kill my battery?
Yeah, kill your battery, fill your hard drive.
Two for one. I'll just do an archive install. It's no big. Anyway, let's get back to the phone, see if we can finish up with a few folks. If you're interested in anything Windows 7, by the way, again, those resources, datadoctors.com/radio. Chuck is up next on the Computer Corner. Chuck?
Yeah, I've got XP... Windows Professional.
Okay.
And when the guy set it up, he partitioned the disk.
Smack him. Smack
a C and a D.
Yeah, smack that person, whoever did that. that it is an old myth that would somehow give you some increased performance or somehow eliminate some pain if and when you ever had to reinstall or somehow make it easier to back up. All of those things are fallacies. But anyway.
Until those partitions disappear.
Okay. But the problem is the C... He also put in a backup, so every time I have a document, it backs up to that. But somewhere along the line between then and now, there's been another backup, so I have two backups plus my regular one.
Well, so you're in far better position than most people who have zero backups. But I'm
but
guessing...
It's all on one disk. It's all on one disk. In other words, it's all on C.
He's backing up to other partitions.
Yeah.
So
No, not to the D. But to the C, to its own self.
So let me make sure, either way, if you're backing up to the same drive or to another partition on the same drive, that's not a very good backup strategy. That
yeah.
That covers you in case you make a mistake or something gets corrupted or damaged. You can go back.
Yeah.
But for the more common pain that people deal with that's associated around backup, when a hard drive fails, you've got no coverage at all.
Yeah, no.
So I'd recommend you long-term look for something that gets that backup separated from your hard drive, whether that's a thumb drive, whether that's an external drive, whether that's online backup, whatever that is.
Well, everything that I need, I always back up to a CD. I just burn a disk.
Okay.
My problem is it takes up a lot of space, so I'm trying to say how to get rid of that one, at least one of them.
So
I don't think I can.
Somebody's going to have to dig around and figure out how he's got that backup. It sounds like it's something that's scheduled to occur. So you could look in your scheduled tasks, which you can get to by clicking on Start, then Programs, then Accessories, then System Tools, then Scheduled Tasks. That's a lot of clicks, I know. I'll do it again. Start.
I got it.
Programs, Accessories, System Tools, Scheduled Tasks. and bring up that task scheduler and see if you see anything that looks like it might be related to a backup of some sort. If you see it, you can double-click on it or right-click in Properties.
Okay.
And then there's a checkbox that says something about active or something along those lines. It'll be real obvious when you're in there, but you can just uncheck that, and it just disables that schedule, so it won't continue doing it, and then you can go and clean up that extraneous backup. If it's not that, then there could be any number of things that's running in the background that does this, so you're going to have to kind of figure out what that is and undo, or see if you can get a hold of whoever got you in the mess and see if they can help guide you a little
bit. Well, that won't work, but can I put on the D drive Vista and then eliminate the C and reformat it?
Yeah, with a lot more steps and a lot... if you really want to start over and format it, and you're good with, you have all your disks to reinstall your software, and you know all your settings and how to set up your email for your ISP and all those things, then sure, have at it. Throw that CD in and let her rip. But if you're not prepared for all the things it's going to ask you to do and for what you're going to have to do after, because installing is the easy part.
Oh, okay.
I would probably seek out some help with something like that if I was you.
Okay, appreciate it. Thanks.
Okay. Thanks for the call.
Okay, bye.
Good luck. Stan, that leaves you as the lone guy hanging out there. I'm going to, when I get off the air here, give you some one-on-one, so you just sit tight for the rest of you. I'll throw out one final time. If you're interested in Windows 7 or anything past that we've talked about, we've got resources anytime online, datadoctors.com/radio. Thanks again to Mr. Kevin Church for coming on down, making the trek.